you have an insert in your bulletin that has that's titled Kindness, Sanctuary, and Connection, and you could take that out and take a look at it. And for those of you who are watching, you should have gotten an email this morning that has all this information, the bulletin there. So if you haven't seen that yet, you could check your bulletin. And this is a resource we're going to be referring to some of these things this morning, and others are for you during the week. And the scripture that we have two passages. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it shares a truth and it shares a reality that we are all experiencing these days. And the Apostle Paul talks about our very real connectedness, not just emotional, not sentimental, but very real spiritual connectedness, and as we know maybe too well, our physiological connectedness. And he says this, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, and all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. There are many parts, but one body. And its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And then we have our second passage. Our second passage, to me, is one of the most beautiful and powerful and succinct passages that very simply and very profoundly kind of summarizes what we're all about, where it says these three words. An easy passage to put to memory today, right? Be ye kind. So may God bless our embodying and our living of these words of abundant life and love. Amen. I had an aunt, and her name was Aunt Blanche. And she was a beautiful southern lady. When she got to be 99 years old, her body started becoming a little fragile, but her mind was 100%. And she had two hobbies. Every day she did the word jumble, and her second hobby was a stock market. Right? Now, she got married when she was a little bit older. She was maybe in her, I don't know, early 40s. So, I mean, you know, older relatively speaking. And because she got married at that age, she and her husband didn't have any children. And actually, shortly after she got married, I think it was within like 2 years or so, her husband died, George. And so she was still pretty young at that point. She had a dress shop. But in a way, the stock market, her stocks, were kind of like her babies, her children. And so every day she would be reading, you know, about them and how are they doing and what are the companies like and everything. But when she was 99 years old, she was in a nursing home. She moved from Virginia to West Hartford, which is where I lived and where our family lived at the time. And on Monday, October 19th, 1987, the stock market crashed. And so I knew that she was going to be in a crisis, because this was one of the only things she had been focusing on. So right after work, I headed straight to the nursing home. I'd been a minister at that point for about a month. I started in September. So I got there, and I said, "Aunt Blanche, I know that this is a pretty rough day for you. And after I said this, I waited. I waited for her to, break down in tears, panic, start screaming, start shouting out to God, God, why have you done this? I waited. And in a moment, she laughed. She laughed. And she said, oh, Paul. She said, I'm 99 years old. She said, I've seen all sorts of things. I've seen life go up, and I've seen life go down, but there's always up again. She said, I'm just fine. And you know what? She was. I thought about her words and her posture of faith, because she was a great person of faith, and her perspective. I've thought about these so much over the last 32 years. And I remember her words through so many things. Paul, I've seen life go up, and I've seen life go down, and it always goes up again. And I love her 99-year perspective. With her great faith, she had a foundation, and she had a calm, and she had wisdom. We're in the midst of a rough time right now. It's been a rough couple of weeks, and no doubt, it's going to be a little while. We don't know. Global pandemic. The unknown. And that's combined with what we do know. And so that gives rise to concern. It gives rise to panic. Have you been to Stop and Shop? Have you seen the aisles? Have you felt the energy? My gosh. You know, when we panic because we feel helpless, because so much is out of control. And there is so much that is truly out of our hands, but there are also some things that are in our control. And those are the things that our faith leads us to. Now, we all know some of the things physiologically that are in our control. We, you know, the washing hands, the social distancing, the whole thing that we've been reading for weeks now. But there's something else. There's our faith. There's our perspective. Aunt Blanche knew that there's something about staying calm and in the midst of darkness, being that light, receiving that light, and sharing that light. In the midst of distress, you can either run around like a chicken with your head cut off, or you can choose to help those people who are even in greater need. There's been a lot of that discussion this last week with the people who we help in church. So we can either add to the problem, or we can be a part of the solution with calm, with healing, with kindness. Be ye kind, very powerful, especially in times of darkness. So it has been a rough few weeks, and there's a lot of unknown about what's going to happen and for how long, and what's the total impact going to be. And so that's why this morning we're going to focus on what is in our control. What can we choose in a constructive and helpful and healing way for ourselves and for other people? And that is our kindness and our actions and our connectedness. I also just want to recognize that this is different because in other times of crisis and problems, we have 9/11 and Newtown and so forth, instinctually, what are we drawn to do? We're drawn to come together. And this time is very different because when we want to come together, we are told, and rightly so, that we need to keep apart. And so there's this kind of cognitive and emotional dissonance that's happening that we need to ride along with and adjust. But being that non-anxious presence is a very, very helpful thing. I was thinking about emergency room doctors. I'm thinking about firefighters, police departments. And being that non-anxious presence, can you imagine running into the emergency room and having the doctors be going like, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Every case, firefighters, oh my God, how do we put this thing out? They don't freak out, right? And that helps all of us. They train, they prepare. Why? So they can be present and so they can deal with it. And that's what we do with our faith. We use a phrase here at our church a lot of times where we say, we equip you for life. And that means being equipped for all parts of life, and that means being equipped throughout our lives. And that's what our faith is about. So this morning we're going to take some time in the strength and with kindness, which is really drawing on God's kindness and God's strength. And like the firefighters, we're going to go out this week and we're going to fight our fires. And then we're here. We come back to heal, to regain our strength, to renew, to restore, to recommit once again to our faith. And with our training, we become beams of light, beams of kindness. We become that non-anxious presence within ourselves and for others. And that is God's healing. And so today, for those who are here with our appropriate social distancing, and for those of you who are at home, hello, this is our time to decompress, to let go of all the stuff from our week. And we don't have to worry because it'll be there when we get back to it. But for now, we practice a posture of faith and we train and we let it sink in with some very beautiful words that can help our posture. And we can settle into this calm. And I'm going to read the part that's on the inside. And as I do, just let yourself sink into these words. And after our reading, we'll have a special treat. Perry Spate, one of our church members, is going to be playing some beautiful, calming, healing, meditative music. And we're going to have many minutes just to absorb all of this light and kindness. And with that, we have our reading. It's from a book by Max Lucado. And it's called When God Whispers Your Name. This also got emailed to everyone, along with we have other resources on our website to help us through the week. I want to thank Jeff Nickel, who's here. Jeff shared this with me, I don't know, maybe it was about 8 years ago or so, and we shared it with the congregation and with the deacons before. And I'm going to read the regular parts, and I'm going to invite you, when it comes to the parts that are in bold, for you to join in at that point. When God whispers your name, it's quiet, it's early, my coffee is hot, the sky is still black, the world is still asleep, a new day is coming. In a few moments, the day will arrive. It will roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged for the noise of the day. The calm of solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. And the refuge of the early morning will be invaded by decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. And for the next 12 hours, I'll be exposed to the day's demands. So it is now that I must make a choice. And because of the choices that Christ made, I know that I too am free to choose. And so I choose.
I choose love.
I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God, and I will love whom and what God loves.
I choose joy.
I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see and serve God.
I choose peace.
I will live forgiven, and I will forgive, so that I may live freely and openly.
I choose patience.
I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I'll invite him or her to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long or that the shelves are empty, I'll thank God for the moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments or the need to change and adapt, I'll face them with joy and with courage.
I choose kindness.
And with that, I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. And I will be kind to the rich, for they too know fear and loneliness. And I'll be kind to the unkind. For such is how God has treated me.
I choose goodness.
I'll go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I boast. I'll confess before I will accuse.
I choose faithfulness.
Today, I will keep my promises. My associates will not question my word. My spouse will not question my love. My children will never fear their parent coming home.
I choose gentleness.
For nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it only be in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be of myself.
I choose self-control.
I'm a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I'll be influenced only by God and by what is good. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To these, I commit my day. If I succeed, I will give thanks. If I fail, I will seek God's grace, forgiveness, encouragement, and a new opportunity tomorrow. And then, when the day is done, I'll place my head on my pillow and rest. May we let these
words sink in, and even more so, may we let the peace of God sink in, that healing, God's love, as we take our breath in, as we breathe out our stresses, our anxieties, as we give them to God. And as God says, I'll take them. I'll take you. As God says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest and peace for your souls. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Come unto me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Always. Always. Always in love. Thank you. I will love you and take you to myself. Always, 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 I will reach out my hand to you as your shepherd, as your guide, God says, and will welcome you whenever and always when you reach back to me. God says, I am your shepherd in this time. I'm your shepherd in the difficult times. I'm the shepherd in your times of joy. May we walk together, for you are never alone. In healing, in love, in peace, may we receive God's joy today and every day as we go out into the world, being God's kindness, being God's strength, being God's good courage to all those whom we meet, now and forevermore, now and forevermore.
God of all time, we live in a large universe with creation constantly being born and going through a life cycle and dying. There is no beginning without an ending, no start without a finish, no winner without a loser. Except for when we are with you. Because with you, time is eternal. Death has been conquered. And even though we don't know exactly what that looks like, we trust and believe in you. And in these days ahead, when creation has made a virus that is affecting our entire world, we turn to you because it is you we trust. It is you we believe in. We do not believe in panic. We do not believe in hype. We believe in steadfastness, in facts. We know that you are watching over us, offering us your peace and your love to help conquer our fears. You are offering us your wisdom to care for ourselves and one another to the best of our abilities. Because in every crisis, God, there is an opportunity to care for others. So help us to open our hearts and our minds to see the suffering in our world or the pain right here in our neighborhood. And help us to reach out for those who might be alone or sad at this time. Pray for them. Help us to do what we can to help, to share what we have to share, so that together, with your love and support, we can change this crisis into a global effort of love. And so, God, as we face the unknown, it is most important that we keep knowing you and trusting in you. So we ask you to remind us of that. As we pray together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.